If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Let's BOGO! The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
The Mets offense goes back into its shell after the 10-run explosion the night before for their win in Miami. Sandy Alcantara and a bunch of no-names in the bullpen shut them down. An error by Francisco Lindor, actually two on the day, but one in the fourth inning leads to two runs from Kodai Senga, gave up a home run early in the game, gave up two runs in the fourth. And that's all it took. As this offense continues to struggle early on in the year, while they do get good pitching performances, the offense has been nowhere, and the Yankees lose a heartbreaker of a game. And for me, positives and negatives from this game, and the negative is really only what the positives could have meant. I wanted to solidify the positives, because there were positives in this game. You go into a game, right? Think of where the Yankees were. They're coming off a three-game sweep of the Milwaukee Brewers, and everybody's talking about the bats and the offensive explosion and everything, and, you know, whether or not they're cheating and everyone hating on the New York Yankees. And they're heading into a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks and facing their three best pitchers, including last night Corbin Burnes, one of the best pitchers in baseball, big-time free agent signing, very familiar with him. Obviously, as last year, he was the ace of the Baltimore Orioles, and he has pitched well against the New York Yankees. And they head in with Will Warren, making his first start of the year, who had a very nice spring, but ultimately was pretty terrible every time he threw the ball last year. Not sure what to expect from him. This rotation, obviously down Cole, obviously down Luis Gil. Still waiting for Clark Schmidt to return, and there's some thought that he could be back by April 14th or 15th, coming up in just a week or so. But Will Warren, earlier this year, is going to be a key part, and to find out who he is and a spot for the Yankees to try and get their fourth consecutive win against one of the best pitchers in baseball, an offense in the Diamondbacks who led the National League and I think all of baseball in scoring runs last year. In a cold 50-degree night in the Bronx, it just felt like a tough matchup heading in. It's not easy to win four straight games. You're going up against a world-class pitcher. You're throwing a rookie out there who has proven absolutely nothing at the major league level. And it just felt like this is a tough game to win, and they had it, right? They, after a Corbin home run to give the Arizona Diamondbacks a two-run lead, Warren settles in. He gives up one hit in five innings in the game. They have two home runs from two guys who you're looking for to make a big impact on this team. One in Jason Dominguez, who hasn't really done much offensively yet and is taken out, really doesn't get that third or fourth at bat because he's being pulled for defense. But he comes through the home run against Corbin Burnes. The guy has a knack for hitting home runs off of big time names. The first at bat of his career is a home run versus Verlander. He gets a home run against Corbin Burnes in this game. Volpe with a home run to tie the game. That's three already on this young season for Anthony Volpe with his new torpedo bat. The Yankees get a gift of an error at first base from Naylor. And they have a two-run lead heading into the eighth inning after five really good innings from Warren. They get Cruz to come in, the new reliever we've heard so much about, the high strikeout rate and the great splitter. And he's dominant for two innings. And it just felt like the Yankees were about to steal one from the Arizona Diamondbacks, win a game I wasn't sure about heading in, not getting much offense like they've gotten the first three games, and still finding a way to outpitch and outduel one of the aces in baseball. And ultimately, they were unable to get through the eighth inning. You go to Tim Hill, he gives up a leadoff double and a base hit. You get to Leiter, he gives up two walks, and then the grand slam to Suarez. And the Yankees, unfortunately, drop a heartbreaking loss. And ultimately, everyone's going to blame Aaron Boone. And we don't have to go through the whole inning again, but I am so sick and tired of every time a Yankee reliever gives up runs, we have to blame the manager. They didn't have Devin Williams because he's on paternity leave. Him and his wife had a baby yesterday, their first one. He's going to be gone again tonight, so they're not sure how much they're going to use Weaver. They've got nine consecutive games to play. Leiter gave them probably the two most dominant innings they've had all of the first three games of the year. They went to him and Tim Hill, who's been just as good as him in the bullpen so far this year, to get three outs in the eighth before going to Weaver in the ninth, and he couldn't do it. And that's the bottom line. He gives up a grand slam on a terrible pitch. As we were going through the at-bat, Suarez is looking for off-speed the entire at-bat, and he throws him a splitter in the zone, low and in, no less, and he hits a long, deep fly ball to give the Arizona Diamondbacks a 7-4 lead. Ultimately, we get another home run from Rice to make it 7-5, but the Yankees fall short, their first loss of the year, and we make too much about the managerial decisions. We give him no credit for the lineups he put forth that every one of you hated. I know you hated that second-day lineup. I know you did. We hated it. Boone's an idiot. He's already messing with things. He's already tinkering with things. Just leave it alone. I don't understand. And they exploded. And not a single person has called me, tweeted at me, said a damn thing about, you know what, I was wrong. Boone was right with that lineup. I, you know, the dynamic of Wells and Goldschmidt at the leadoff spot has been beneficial. No, because players play. And now you've even got the bats to give credit to. We can credit the bats. We credit the players. We credit everything under the sun for wins other than the manager. But anytime a reliever comes in and gives up runs, it's the manager for putting him in that spot. Hitters are supposed to hit, but I guess pitchers aren't supposed to pitch. Pitchers are supposed to be put in the perfect position for them to be successful. Otherwise, when they fail, it's the manager's fault. Everyone is saying the same thing. Leiter stinks, but Boone's an idiot. Maybe it's just Leiter gave up a home run. So tired of it. And the Mets, obviously, we got more bad news on the injury front as Sean Manaea has retweaked his oblique injury. He's being shut down for 2 weeks. And so the hopes of getting him back by mid to late April are gone. Now you're looking at the end of March, maybe even early June. I don't think this time they'll mess around. I'm sure they will make sure he feels absolutely nothing. They will take imaging and then probably give it another week because they've already done this. He started throwing and he's re-injured himself. You do not want to play this oblique game all year long. So that would be my take. As you look at the Mets rotation, right? And that's what I said too about these two teams, despite obviously a heartbreaking loss from the Yankees last night, if you can have one four games in, but a difficult loss where you felt like you really had a chance to steal a game, go 4-0 on the start of the year, and join the Dodgers and the Padres as the undefeated teams in baseball. And the Mets are 2-3 through five and not exactly playing great offense. But you look at the question marks of this team, and for the Yankees, it was the offense and the starting rotation. And so far, despite not being great, Rodon really good, and now Will Warren really good, you feel okay about the rotation, and the offense is absolutely friggin' exploded. And for the Mets, it's the starting rotation, and honestly, it's been really good. Even Kodai Senga, who hasn't pitched in more than a year, it feels like, you know, he gives up a home run early, and then he kind of settles in. And then an error in his defense let him down a little bit. It's not a great start by no means, but it's, you know, he's just getting the season started. Same thing with Clay Holmes, who's going to throw later today in a pivotal game against Miami because you don't want to lose a series to Miami. But ultimately, Griffin Canning, McGill, Peterson, the way they've thrown has been a real positive. So for me, with Manaea, like, I am taking this uber careful, and especially now that we've already had a retweak in the injury. They thought he was good. He was feeling fine. Imaging showed he was ready to go. And then within a week and a half of throwing, he re-injures it. So for me, now is the time to be cautious, right? We know the offense is going to turn around. The starting rotation's been better than you thought one time through. You're going to go to a six-man rotation. Hopefully, Paul Blackburn's knee is going to be fine enough to do it. There's no reason to rush back Manaea. Take your time. Make sure he's healthy. You do not want to play this oblique game all year. These obliques are tricky. Give it as much time as it needs. I'll see you the first week of June, where you can re-enter the staff, probably pick up the Mets humming along with this offense, because I expect it to be better as we still wait. You know, obviously the offense has struggled here, but to me, the question mark has been the rotation, and for the most part, you've got positive answers other than the injury and maybe Senga and Clay Holmes adjusting to either being in the rotation again for the first time in 6 years or just pitching for the first time in a year and a half. So we'll see today. I'm interested to see Clay Holmes today for the New York Mets. I actually think, you know, this is the first time, you know, I know he did it in spring training, but this is the first time in 6 years, really. I know he had some starts in 2018. This is the first time since 2018 he has to prepare himself for a start every fifth day. I know it's going to be more than that now with the off days and everything, but like typically he's a reliever. You go 6-7 days, especially a sinker baller. We all know the adage, single ballers are too strong, they don't sink as well. They throw it harder without any movement. So, I mean, we've heard, how many times do we hear, oh, he's a little too strong with the days off. He's a little too strong. That's been Clay Holmes' life for the last 6 years in Major League Baseball. Now he's got to deal with a routine of being ready in 5-6 days. He's got to deal with preparing for this moment. He's got to deal with, again, figuring out, which he struggled with in his first game, when to throw that changeup, when to change up his pitches. This is a guy who not only is dealing with a new schedule, dealing with becoming a starter, but he's dealing with, you know, in the middle of a game when bases are loaded or first and second or runners at the corners and one out. Like, he has relied on two pitches, sweeper, sinker. That's it. And now to just have the confidence after learning a changeup in spring training to suddenly throw it in the biggest of moments, that's asking a lot. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some maturation. It's going to take him getting used to this and trusting that pitch and trusting his secondary stuff and understanding that he can go to it when the sinker's not there. There's a lot. The idea that he had a great spring and so he was going to transition right into being an excellent starting pitcher, it's going to take some time. So his first start now was one thing. Now he's in it. Now I'd like to see how he adjusts to being part of a rotation, pitching every fifth or sixth day. They've gone over pitch sequencing. They've gone over the idea when to throw the changeup to right-handed batters. They've worked on all of this, and now it's, you know, a game against Miami that certainly isn't must-win or anything, but it's against the Miami team that you have to beat up on. We talk about this a lot. Like, this division with Atlanta, I know they haven't won a game yet, but Atlanta and Philadelphia, this is an excellent division. Even Washington's got some players, you know, mainly from the Soto trade, that they are really starting to hit their own, and you're expecting them to not be great necessarily, but better. And we've seen it with the Yankees, we've seen it with the Mets, we've seen it with, you know, divisions all the time. There was 3 years in a row where the division winner in the American League East was determined on who beat up the Orioles best. That was it. I mean, The Rays go 2-17 against the 17-2 against the Orioles. They win the division. The Yankees pound the Orioles. They win the division. Like, you have to beat up the lesser teams in your division. And I know Miami's had some walk-off wins. They split the first two games of this series. They got Alcantara back. Maybe they've built, you know, they got a new manager who I thought had two miserable games despite winning one against the Mets. He's made some boneheaded decisions. But right now they're feeling somewhat positive. And you have to go out there and take two or three at the bare minimum, just to try and beat up on them, because you can't afford to have a so-so season against Miami, because I'll tell you right now, Philadelphia won't, and Atlanta probably won't. So you want to win this division? A lot of winning the division is beating up the lesser teams in your division. Every game against Washington and every game against Miami are big games. So you do not want to lose this series. It's not a must win. It's not the end of the world. We all understand that. But as far as, you know, six games of a season go, you do not want to open the season with two consecutive series losses, and particularly one against Miami, even if it's on the road, even if it's early in the year, even if it's while your offense is trying to find itself. Like, this is a somewhat significant game for the sixth game of the year coming up later today, and I'm interested to see how Clay Holmes handles it. So we've got the injury to Manaea. We've got the Mets and Yankees with two losses off last night. We've got blame Boone for everything. We've got Knicks and OG Anunoby. We got the Giants not going to see Shedeur Sanders. We got a lot on the table for the last 45 minutes. Let's get to your calls on them. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Craig in Long Beach. What's up, Craig?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad, man. After that great analysis, the point of my phone call seems a little dopey at this point. But
that's okay. Listen, it's 4:16 in the morning. You know, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Usually I go to opening day with my friends. I can't make it due to work this year. They're all texting, oh, it's going to rain. I'm like, ha-ha. So I bought tickets at a site Sunday, and I'm looking. It's going to be 80% chance of rain that day. I look Saturday. It's going to be 80% chance of rain.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I'm driving, I'm thinking all the hypotheticals of that. I mean, besides opening day, the home opener being next week versus the Marlins possibly.
Right.
I mean, how does Major League Baseball handle three rainouts an entire series versus the Blue Jays?
Yeah. That's the only time they're playing. Yeah, no, it's not easy. You do not want to get these all three rained out. I'm not saying it's impossible. I would think, Craig, that they're going to find a way to play at least two of these games. If it's a doubleheader on the one day I know the Yankees, same thing this weekend. I know it's not the same as opening day and the excitement for seeing the Mets and seeing Juan Soto, play in Citi Field as a Met for the first time. But Pittsburgh is supposed to be heavy rains too. And that's where the Yankees will be this weekend. So there's a chance we don't see a lot of baseball this weekend, but they'll figure it out. I think there'll be a window to try and get in at least one, probably two games over the weekend. I was just looking. I don't think the weather on opening day is that bad. Let me double check that. I didn't think I saw that it was that bad on Friday. But 40% chance of rain on Friday. Just looking at it real quick. Go through the hours. Of course, you know, this is my phone knows exactly what the weather's going to do on Friday. So take a look at it. Yeah. No, it looks like rain earlier in the morning as of right now. And not much rain the rest of the day. So we'll see. They'll get in games. Don't worry about it. And we'll see what happens. But I really feel like setting up for opening day, you want to take care of business later today. You do not want to lose this series to Miami. And again, not just because you don't want to lose back-to-back series to start the year, you don't. And not just because you want to see Clay Holmes pitch well, you want to get the offense going, all that, of course. There's the obvious nature of any game. But I do think the games against Miami are important. Like for the Yankees, it's always been the games against Baltimore are big. If there's a team at the bottom of your division that you know is not going to be good and that everybody's going to pound on, like right now in the Central, believe it or not, you know, early in the year, two teams in the American League, everyone expects to be awful this year at the top of the division. That's how you know the opening week of the season means absolutely nothing because the White Sox and Angels are in first place. But when you have teams like the White Sox and the Angels, like the difference between who wins the division between Texas and Houston might very well be who beats up on LA. Who wins the Central between Minnesota and Cleveland and Kansas City might very well be who wins 12 out of 13, or 15 out of 16, or whatever it is, however many games they play now in the balanced schedule. Like whoever, you know, only loses one or two games to Chicago has a one up in the division. Like these games are important. When you have a team that you know is going to be around 100 losses, and that's what Miami's going to be, you got to win these games against them. Even if it's early on in the year, even if it's while they're playing well, even if it's while your offense is struggling, you have to find a way to at least win two out of three. Maureen Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro, and hey now!
Hey now! They did have a couple hey nows, and Ben Rice absolutely demolished.
Crushed it.
A left hand off a very good lefty too. Like that is an impressive at bat. He hit one in the gap that was 110 miles an hour, and then he absolutely belted a ball into the second deck. Right now he looks good. I mean, he just looks good. The entire offense, you know, Jazz struck out four times in this game, and Judge didn't do anything. But I mean, to get home runs from Volpe, Dominguez, and Rice, I mean, that's what you're looking for right now. Those are the answers you're looking for, because you know what a lot of these other players are. You're looking for answers in year three from Volpe. You're looking to see what Dominguez is, and you're looking to see what Ben Rice is. So despite the loss, there are some positives.
The future of the Yankees looks bright, baby.
That's right. It looks bright. Don't listen to the rest of them. Don't listen to all those Mets fans who say the farm system sucks and nobody wants to be a Yankee and there's no more prestige and there's no more pinstripes and there's no more presence and there's no more ghosts and everything is going to be run through Flushing when it comes to baseball in New York City. Don't believe it. Because you know what? As I have a bet with, I have a bet standing right now with Evan Roberts, home runs, Beatty, Rice. I feel pretty damn good about where I sit on that bet.
Listen, he speaks very eloquent Spanish, by the way, Rice. I don't know if you know the backstory, but the guy is fantastic. He's the future. That's number one. Number two, skinny jeans is just a pile of smoke. I got to him yesterday.
Tommy? skinny jeans, yes.
Women are jealous of his slick legs.
I'm like, he does wear skinny jeans. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, he does, and he doesn't like people pointing that out. And then last but not least, let's get the Knicks ready to roll, get them in condition, start using the bench, and then time for some defense in the playoffs. That's what's going to make the difference between look at the team starting to come together. I know Brunson doesn't play great D, but what you're starting to see is the defense lock it down, and that's the goal of the playoffs. No injuries, play some defense, keep the other team below 100 points, and we go to the finals this year. We're going to creep into this thing. I promise you we're in this game.
I think we all know where they are. I don't think even the Pat Boyles of the world who don't believe they have a chance against Boston in the second round, if that's the matchup, and I think it's hard to really have a strong feeling that they would. I mean, I think all of us on some level know that they're good enough to have a puncher's chance. Even if you say you don't believe it, the game will start and you will find it somewhere inside you to believe it. Because the team is talented enough, right? I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, Brunson, on any given night, as good as the Boston Celtics are, it's not impossible. And they've got to get better. And I do think that we've seen a little bit of the growth I was hoping for while Brunson was gone. I was really hoping Mikal Bridges was going to become the offensive breakout player and really find himself. And early on, it kind of looked like that. He had the buzzer beater against Portland after, you know, being open about the minutes and that whole thing. But it's been OG Anunoby who's taken over the offensive game. And we know him as a defensive player. And when he signed that contract, it felt like, man, that's a lot of money for a perimeter defender who can occasionally hit the corner three. And now he's established himself as a guy who can kind of get his own shot. You know, a guy can get to the basket. He took, he hit 11 of 13 foul shots. Like, so he's getting to the rim. He's getting to the basket. He's hitting his open looks. He's creating for himself. Plus, he's playing the defense. Like, OG Anunoby has really stepped up. And, you know, that and Shamet and some of the other bench players that have stepped up. Mitchell Robinson is rounding into form. And, you know, we know what kind of rim protector and rebounder he can be in big games. So it's going to be about Karl Anthony Towns stepping up and Brunson stepping up. It's always about your stars. We can kid ourselves and talk about, well, we're rounding into shape in this area and they're rounding into shape in that area and OJ and Obi can do this and maybe, you know, but it's going to come down to the reason they got Karl Anthony Towns and the reason this team has changed since Brunson became a superstar is because the league is built on superstars. And you get into these big games and you want to go beat the Celtics, you're going to need big-time performances from your big-time players. That's it. I mean, you're going to need defense. You're going to need Mitchell Robinson to be there. You're going to need, you know, Deuce McBride. You're going to need, you know, Hart and everything he brings to the team. But ultimately, you know, Brunson's going to have to drop 40. Karl Anthony Towns is going to have to be a presence. There's going to have to be a time where Karl Anthony Towns and the offense runs through him and he's a dominant force. Like, that's going to happen or they're not going to win. So it's about stars, but it's also about rounding out the team a little bit, being better defensively. And it just felt like without Brunson, you were really looking for it to step up in the other areas. And you've seen it a little bit. You've had bad performances. You've had good performances. But ultimately, we're in a waiting pattern. And hopefully that waiting pattern will end on Sunday at Madison Square Garden against the Phoenix Suns. 888-808-1019. Let's take one more call for the break. Phil and Howell, what's up, Phil?
It seems like I always follow Maury. Hey, Maury, remember the Itch movie theater? That's
right. You guys remember the Itch.
Okay, yeah. Listen, I like to talk about the controversial torpedo bat. Okay, if I may.
Yeah, please talk about the torpedo bat.
I think it has its good and its bad points.
Okay.
Obviously it's going to bring more offense, you know, more runs produced during a game. But I also think that there are still plenty of people. They haven't gotten caught. They take the risk of using, like, the performance-enhancing drugs. Well, maybe, right. You know what? If I stay off the drugs, I'll just use the bat. What I'm saying?
No, I honestly, Phil, and I appreciate the call, no. I don't know what you're saying at all, because those two things aren't the same. And, Profar of the Braves just got banged for 80 games. Obviously, it's early enough in the season where he'll be back, but he's ineligible for postseason play now. I don't think these bats, we're talking about them like they're some kind of cheat code. They're not. We don't know yet that the offense is going to explode. The Yankees hit some home runs yesterday, but it's not. And again, Dominguez doesn't use the torpedo bat, and he hit a home run. I'm not sure about Ben Rice. Obviously, we know Volpe's using it. We don't know yet. It's been 4 games. Ellie De La Cruz had a 2-run home run day using one. Okay. He's one of the better young players in baseball. He was going to have a 2-homer day. Like, we don't know that the offense is going to jump up because of this. Players have been using this bat. We don't know that this is some sort of cheat code that clearly is going to lead to this offensive explosion, and it's going to be known as the torpedo bat era. Like, that's what we're talking about. There's the steroid era, there's the dead ball era, there's the live ball era, and now there's the torpedo era. Like, you guys are being silly. It's 3 games. We don't know that this is going to lead to some sort of, like, everybody hitting 45 home runs. Let's cool our jets and see what actually happens. And I had a caller to end the show yesterday who asked me how great home run hitters like Barry Bonds feels about the sanctity of their home runs watching these guys hit it with these puny bats. That Barry Bonds, someone actually called me and said, how do you think Barry Bonds feels watching all these players hit home runs with these bats? Like, are we aware of what, like, have we lived? Have we not watched stuff? Do we not know what's going on here? That we're worried about how Barry Bonds feels about the numbers of today's home runs? It's not the same as steroids. It's not. This is just a different. We've seen bats change. You go to the dugout or the clubhouse of a major league team during a game, you will see 60 different styles of bats. This is not new. Heavier ones, lighter ones, thinner handled, thicker handled, big knob, no knob, carved out hollow top, solid top. You know, we've seen, there's a million different ways to make a bat. We've seen it. Ashwood, maple, birch, all of it. Like, we've seen all different kinds of wood, all different kinds of shapes and sizes. All this is doing is sliding the barrel down a little bit to get to the middle of the bat where a lot of baseball players end up hitting the ball more frequently. That's it. If you hit it off the end of the bat now, you're less likely to get that flare. You're less likely to get that hit when you're out in front off the end of the bat because now there's less wood there. So if you get jammed, maybe it helps you. If you're late and you hit it off at the end of the bat, it could hurt you. Like, this isn't some sort of secret, wow, wait until you see the explosion. It might help certain players and hurt other players. It's just, let's give it a little bit of time before we decide that it's somehow changing the landscape of the game. It's ridiculous, the overreaction to this. Like, obviously, they're using it because they think it's beneficial. Of course. You would use anything that you think is beneficial. It doesn't mean that it'll always play out that way. They're being told it's beneficial. And I know all of you analytic lovers out there. I'm sure you think all the analytical numbers that they get are beneficial, right? Because these players are told a million different things. We think analytics has become a dirty word. Like, that's what I laugh about. Like, the 90% of Major League Baseball fans consider analytics a dirty word, and that they blame for every problem they have with Major League Baseball. Oh, they got to take out the analytics. It's the analytics that's killing the game. It's this. Analytics, analytics, analytics. You hate it. Hate it, despise it. It's killing the game. It's stupid. It doesn't work. We should go by gut. We should do this. Managers who base just on the numbers are always wrong. Give me the Terry Francona's and the Bruce Bochy's of the world. Like, these managers are stupid. Analytics sucks. And then they make an analytical bat and they go, well, this is ridiculous. It's too easy. Why don't you just wait and see if your analytic hate actually comes forward? We don't know what these bats do yet. The Yankees had a historic weekend. That's it. That's it. They scored 4 runs against Peralta, one of the best pitchers in baseball, or at least the ace of the Milwaukee Brewers, and then they scored 5 runs against a good Diamondback team. Like, it's not, and Corbin Burns. They had 2 home runs. That's it. Like, relax. Relax. We don't know what these bats do just yet. 888-808-1019. Let's play a full season, see how many people use it, see how many people make the change, and see how beneficial it is at the end of the year.
And now, 2 pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
But for me specifically, Green Day, Dookie, The Score, The Fugees are two of the real, like, 90s quintessential albums for me. Was it Out of Time? R.E.M. is another one with Losing My Religion on it. Is a classic album. There's a handful of 90 ones that really impacted me.
Middle of Nowhere, Hanson. Clearly a classic album. Mbop. If only I were kidding. 888-808-1019.
I had that haircut. That Hanson
haircut. You had the
Hanson
haircut?
A couple of them had long hair, but the one had the bowl cut, right?
Yeah.
That bowl cut for way too long.
Yeah.
What my mother was thinking, God knows.
She was thinking it's quick, easy, and it's an easy thing to say to the barber. Give him a bowl cut. How do I know?
Is that easy, though? I feel like cut's not that easy.
Yeah, I think it's easy to just, like, say. See, and everyone knows what it is. I don't know if it's easy to do. I don't know if it's any easier than, you know, two-clip fade, trim the top.
That's it. When I have kids, skin fade. That's it.
That's it, right? Easy. And especially now that it's, you know, $50 a haircut, shave every single ounce of hair on his head. I don't want to be back here for 3 months.
You know, actually, these mics stink, by the way.
It's not so much the mics, it's the stands.
It's the sound. It's the...
Yeah, no, I know. You move them around, they're flopping all over the place.
It wasn't a fart. anyway, when I got my hair cut, one of the guys I played college baseball with, mm-hmm. he's a barber at the barbershop that I go to in Hoboken.
Okay.
Well, I only go there because of him. So from the first time, like for 4 years now, I've been going to him to get my hair cut. And he's always like, yeah, 25 is good. And I'm like, all right, I'm thinking maybe it's like 30, 35 bucks. He's giving me a couple bucks off. I give him like a nice like $20 tip.
Look at you.
He's my buddy.
Yeah.
There was one time, because now he's a part of Jersey City Fire Department.
Okay.
So now he's only there on Saturdays, and I was part of a wedding. I had to get my hair cut on like the Thursday or Friday before, and he wasn't there.
Right.
So the dude that cuts my hair, I asked him, I was like, how much do you need? He goes, oh, the ATM's right there. And I'm like, yeah, I know, like, I'm trying to figure out how much a haircut actually costs here.
Right.
So then I grab my keys, I like go to grab my wallet, I'm like, oh, how much do you need? He goes, oh, yeah, the ATM's right there. And I'm like, I don't know how much it costs.
Right, right.
So I'm like, yeah, but how much? He goes, 50. I almost jumped out of my shoes,
oh,
bro.
Oh, my God.
I went $50.
I know.
But I tried to play it cool. I was like, oh, 50?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah. I was like, oh, my God. So now my friend, now I respect him even more. He's giving me half off.
No, that's a good... I was going to say, I don't know how much money he's actually saving you. But, yeah, no, 50 is... The haircuts have gone up. Everything's gone up. It's crazy. And the other thing about barbers, I don't understand this. How come barbers are the one business that has managed to get away with keeping it cash only? Like, everywhere else, there's a credit card option, there's a PayPal option, or there's a Venmo option or something. Like, that is the one business that has managed to stick with cash only, ATMs right over there. Like, I just wonder how they are able to do it and not have to convert. That's not the right word. But, like, get in with the times where nobody carries cash. Like, nobody carries cash. But you better have cash on you when you go to the barber. I don't know how they get away with it.
I think you were trying to say conform and convert.
Conform, yes. Convert and conform came convert. Or yes, you're right.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess.
I'm just curious. Not that I'm mad or bitter. I understand why, the benefits of it and all. But, like, how come nobody else? There's not another industry where you can get away. Like, you go to Yankee Stadium now, it's completely cashless.
Yep.
Everything's cashless. Everyone has their card. Nobody carries cash anymore. And yet the barber is still like the one place. Like, oh, man, did I bring cash with me today?
Sounds like a great money laundering scheme because I know damn sure Uncle Sam will come knocking on my doors if I'm reporting whatever. But a barbershop, if cash on, they can report whatever.
Oh,
we only made $5,000 this year.
That's why I said I understand the benefits of it. I'm sure many a place would like to have those benefits, but they don't. The business clientele would be like if you have an ice cream parlor, for example, I don't know, whatever other business, and you want to be cash only. Like one time someone's going to come in, order an ice cream and go, really, cash? Yeah, the ATM's right over there. They're going to say in their minds, oh, I can't go to that place. It's cash only. I'll go to the next ice cream place. Like, I'm amazed that the barbers have been able to keep it together. Like, are there meetings where barbers go around and go, hey, listen, you know, there's like one guy's like, I was thinking about using credit cards in my establishment.
And his throat with a razor.
Right. Yeah. No, you can't have any. You can't use a credit card. Like, I wonder if there's like a hierarchy of barbers that just make sure and keep everyone in line.
like drug dealers, but barbers.
Right.
You got a kingpin
like this. No,
that,
yeah.
that delegates.
No, like the barber mafia.
A quarterly meeting.
Yeah.
And he just says, hey.
Right, that's it.
We're still doing cash.
That's it.
Only.
That's it. Do we still have to keep those combs in that blue Powerade that means absolutely nothing? Yes, we still have to keep the combs in the blue Powerade.
Are we still using the talco powder on people's necks that smells
exactly.
like baby powder?
Right, exactly. Has anyone ever honestly looked in the mirror when they give you the back? Like, hey, you can look in the back. Do you ever, like, honestly look at it and go, nope, not good. You better fix that. Like, it's the most obvious, just, like, quick glance. Yeah, yeah, get me out of this chair.
Well, I guess if, in case you wanted, well, they ask you, do you want it squared off or do you want it round? And I guess if they screw it up, and at that point, you're going to tell the barber that they screwed it up? Unless you're
really
close with them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I get a bad haircut, I won't go back.
I do, yeah.
Like,
I
I'm never going to stop a mid-haircut or look at the back and go, oh, my God, that's crooked, fix it. I'm just going to walk out and go, I'm never going back to that place.
And you do the fake, like, I'm looking really intently at my back of my hairline and like, good job.
It's good.
It's good.
Is that long enough? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, no. Until they started doing videos of me up close, part of being a heavy set guy, and especially, you know, I carry weight in my face, obviously, have a round face. The barbershop, the mirror and the barbershop chair, when, you know, they put the tight, like, thing around you, and if, you know, I kind of look like...
Look like you're just a head.
Yeah, I look like Mecha Mecha High Mecha Heine Ho from Pee Wee Herman. Like, and so, but I never look, I want it out of that chair as soon as possible, because the barber mirror, along with the cape and everything else, I never feel fatter than in the barbershop chair. So I'm always looking to get the hell out of there. And then every once in a while, you get like the perfectionist, especially the guy I go to. He does a great job. Love him. Not complaining about him. But if you get there, especially early in the morning when you try and beat the crowd, and if you're successful at it, I mean, it's 55 minutes. And I'm like, bro, I'm not the Mona Lisa. Can we just cut my hair? And I got things to do.
I don't mind a long haircut.
Yeah.
You ever fall asleep in the chair?
Have I ever fallen? Have I ever not dozed off?
That's like my Saturday morning routine. Yeah. I catch a couple 20 minutes of Z's.
Of course. No, absolutely. And you just hope that he doesn't, you know, your elbows don't go off the sides as you're sleeping, and, you know, he brushes by. That's the other fear. You got to keep those elbows tucked.
I did see a video, by the way, yesterday. It was a reel where like a barber would prank the people that would fall asleep. He starts like rubbing their lips. They snap awake. Would you imagine that? You awake from the doze in the barber chair, and the guy's got his thumb on your tongue?
Yeah, no, well, that would be awkward. I see they have all kinds of weird things now, videos that, you know, but they throw, like, carbonated water all over the guy, slap his head a million times, you know, crack his neck, light his hair on fire. Like, there's all these weird things now. They do haircuts. I've seen, like, there's a special place for mostly women. I see the videos where they go in there, and literally it's like with a blowtorch cutting the hair by burning it. Weird. It depends on how you like it, because when I was getting married, someone told me about a place right down the block from here that you go, you become a member, they keep a bottle of your favorite whiskey or tequila or whatever you like to sip. You go in there, they keep that bottle for you. You go in there, they do your fingernails. They give you a manicure, pedicure. They pour you a glass of whatever scotch you left there. Like, it's like an all-day thing. And it's like, you know, it's like $150 a haircut, $200 a haircut.
No shot.
No, thank you. Get me in, get me out. Preferably take my credit card, because I forgot the cash, because who carries around cash? All right, we've rambled for a little bit, and it cost us a segment. 888-808-1019. Quick break, come back. Pat in the Bronx has been on hold for a little bit. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for finally taking the call.
Oh, you got it. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
It's not all
Profar.
Right.
Profar.
Profar.
80 games. That helps us, doesn't it?
I suppose. Yeah. I mean, he had a great year last year. Now everyone is speculating why. And, yeah, I mean, 80 games, and he can't play in the postseason, so... Did they make the move to bring up Verdugo? Did they bring it? Because I know they sent Verdugo. They signed him to a $1.5 million deal. They sent him down to AAA. I was wondering if that would have been the associated move with him gone for 80 days to bring up Verdugo, which should be fun. Who knows? Maybe Verdugo gets hot and is a pain in your side there, Pat.
Oh, I don't know. I like the Mets pitching. Their starting pitching so far has been good. I mean, yeah. Holmes. Canning, Miguel, Peterson, Senga maybe a little shaky, but okay.
Yeah,
and we're going to get Manaea eventually, and we'll get Blackburn.
Well, he got re-injured. You're not going to get Manaea back until June, I would think.
Well, he's set back another 2 weeks. We'll call it maybe mid-May, late May. I'd be hopeful. The bullpen looks good. How about the Stanek and the Kranick?
Yeah.
A nice rhyming duo there. And we got,
Kranick in particular. I mean, he came into was it bases loaded or runners at the corners with one out and with Alvarez up in that game? I think it was bases loaded. So he's been brought into a couple of tight spots, Kranick, and done a really nice job. And obviously Diaz, what you saw from him in the one outing was really... really, really good. Looked dynamic. Fastball was up after fears of fastball velocity being down in spring training. So, yeah, the bullpens look good. The starting rotations look good. The problem's been the offense. And
just get our hitting shoes on, and we'll do okay.
Yeah, I expect them. And thank you for the call, Pat. I expect them to get their hitting shoes on. I do. I expect this team to hit and score runs. I do. I'd be surprised if this is a prolonged thing. Right now, we all know how important. You know, Juan Soto, while getting on base, hasn't really, you know, he had the double off the wall for the one hit in the finale against Houston, hit the home run in the game you won in Houston. But for the most part, he's been on base, but he hasn't really been, you know, devastating or really impactful just yet. And that's not to knock him. He's been on base, you know, a ton. He's gotten off to a solid start. He just hasn't had that big hit, that impactful hit to score a bunch of runs. And you know how important Lindor is. And Lindor right now is one hit on the season. So far, the early return on Beatty isn't very good. Vientos hasn't been very good. And Vientos yesterday did something the fans can't stand. And I'm curious. I haven't really talked about it that much. I'm curious how much play it'll get because, you know, and this is where my Yankee shillness comes out a little bit. I have to be fair. Because God knows if Gleyber Torres doesn't run out of ground ball, whoo-wee, we sure do talk about it. So yesterday, Vientos grounds out, ball is bobbled, and clearly, and the broadcast was all over him, clearly shuts it down about two or three steps before getting to first base and is thrown out when he absolutely could have been safe if he hustled. So he's been struggling, and he's not running out ground balls. So this is not the start you were hoping for from Vientos off of last year and really emerging as one of, you know, the young superstars in the game. I mean, that's not hyperbole. That's what he was, and then what he did into the postseason. I mean, high expectations for what you're, you know, for him this year coming up. And he's off to a slow start, and now he's not running out ground balls. So I'm curious to see how the Met fans handle that because God knows – the Yankee man. Let's see what happens. Hopefully, Mendoza actually speaks to him, right? Because you know Boone got killed if that happened with the Yankees. So we'll see what the talking point is with Vientos. Howard in Forest Hills, what's up, Howard?
Yeah, hi, Chris. For Wyatt Earp movies, the one I would recommend is My Darling Clementine, directed by John Ford with. Henry Fonda.
John Ford, one of the great directors of all time.
Yes, Searchers, blah, 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 blah. Okay, for baseball bats, the thing I remember is, I think it was Nettles, his bat broke, and it had like three rubber balls inside of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's been that, you know, that's cheating, trying to put rubber balls inside. Right. I remember, obviously, Sosa. That's you're specifically doing there. They're not allowed in there. Get those balls out of there. Those aren't allowed. That's cheating, my friend. It's supposed to be just solid wood. Sammy Sosa said he brought a batting practice bat into the game when it broke, and there was like, pellets or balls, whatever you want to call it, inside the bat. I mean, that's trying to cork a bat. That's cheating. That's cheating. This is not the rules. These bats meet every single ground, rule. They meet every single... specification. This is not cheating at all. And I still hear people say, there's a scout I said, that they expect the bats to be banned. I would be shocked unless we see, like, if Volpe hits 40 home runs or 50 home runs with this bat, which he's, you know, it's early on, but he's got three home runs in four games. So he's on pace to hit 45 to 50 home runs easy. If that happens, then maybe we need to look at it. Even I would be fair. It's not going to happen. Like, let's give it a second here. Let's get through. Can we get through a full week of the season? Can we get to the second weekend of the year before we determine that these bats are causing an offensive explosion that needs to be readjusted? Bernadette in Oceanside. Hello, Bernadette.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to say that for women,
yeah,
I go to a salon and they never tell you when you're making the appointment that you have to have cash. And my bill came out to, with my hair getting colored and a cut,
yeah,
$120. And they said, well, you can't have to use a card. There's an ATM.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bernadette. I got the point. I'm up against it. Yeah, no, I thought women's salons, you have to make an appointment. It costs a lot of money. I figured they'd take cards. I didn't know they were cash only. But the barbershop, that's cash only. And I don't have a problem with it necessarily. I'm just wondering how they get away with it when really no other business can. Food for thought. I'm back tomorrow, 2 a.m. Thank you to Pat Boyle. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. We got the Mets at 4:40, Yankees tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table. And Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.